10. This is a long chapter, so again, I don't know that we need to read the whole thing to get started. So let us jump down to 21. I will do the whole chapter, but just to save time, we'll just read 21 to 23, and then we'll pray and dive in. So it says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings." So darkness in all the land is our title. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would use your word tonight, teach us, grow us, guide us, and be glorified through this time in your word. And we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're up to the 8th and the 9th plague tonight. We all know the exciting plague that's coming. The most beautiful picture of Jesus, which is the Passover. But first, plague 8, starting in verse 1, the plague of the locusts. So this time, Moses went in unto Pharaoh again. And interesting, verse 2, "that thou mayest tell in the ears of thy son and of thy son's son what things I have wrought in Egypt, and my signs which I have done among them, that ye may know how that I am the Lord." And again, I mentioned this last week, but just think, as you picture the Old Testament and the many times that you've read through it, all of you, all the times that God kept referring back to rescuing Israel from Egypt as kind of like a mark in the sand. Look what I did to rescue Egypt and to show the world who I am. And what a better legacy for our children than to share with them the victories that God has wrought in our lives. Just like he said, "I want you to share this with your sons and your sons' sons, what I'm doing in Egypt. I want them to hear about my amazing miracles." And in Deuteronomy 6, if you want to turn there quickly, verse 20, this is when Moses is recounting all that God had done. And notice here in Deuteronomy 6:20, "And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders great and sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon his household before our eyes." So even here before Moses died, he reminded Israel, you need to keep telling your families what God did in Egypt, how he rescued Israel with, as it says, signs and wonders. And again, we should be sharing with our children and our grandchildren all the miracles he's wrought in our lives and the victories that we've seen. So in verse 3, Moses and Aaron came unto Pharaoh and said unto him, "Thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, how long wilt thou refuse to humble thyself before me?" You need to humble yourself. We all do. Amen. We all need to come to God with humility. Micah 6:8, "Walk humbly with thy God." What did the Lord require thee but to walk humbly with thy God? But Pharaoh's not humbled yet. It's going to take that 10th plague. So they brought on the locusts, which were extremely destructive, ate everything that they could eat. And verse 7, "Pharaoh's servants said unto him, how long shall this man be a snare unto us? Let the men go, that they may serve the Lord their God. Knowest thou not yet that Egypt is destroyed?" These are his own servants saying, don't you see that they've already won? That Egypt is already destroyed. You know, sometimes it takes Satan's crowd a while to realize they've been beaten. Amen? The Bible says, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Jesus won 2,000 years ago. Amen? The devil lost. And yet, his crowd, they haven't come to that realization yet, that the devil lost and Jesus won. And that if they don't switch sides, they will suffer the consequences for eternity. So down in verse 11, Pharaoh offers up his third compromise. Remember, there have already been two compromise attempts by Pharaoh. Don't go very far. Stay in Egypt. This third compromise. Now, not so. Go now, ye that are men, and serve the Lord, for that you did desire. And they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. So the first two compromises were stay closer, stay in Egypt. Now he says, leave the women and the children behind, and just the men go. Listen, the devil's always going to keep coming at us with compromises. Remember, Pharaoh pictures Satan. And he's always going to say, oh, just compromise in this small area, just this little thing here, just this little thing. And he's not going to stop. And we, like Moses, have to just keep standing and saying, no, this is what God wants. I'm going to obey God and God alone and God's word. But Pharaoh kept trying to change what they had asked for. He even said there, that you did desire. Well, that's not true, is it? Moses has never changed what he asked for. That all of us can go 3 days' journey into the desert and worship the Lord and our flocks, everything that we own. That's never changed. But Pharaoh here is trying to say, well, really, that's all you really wanted was just for the men to go. So they brought in the locusts. They ate everything they could eat. It says, verse 15, they covered the face of the whole earth. Imagine that many locusts, that basically everywhere you looked was locusts. It says the land was darkened with locusts. They ate every herb of the land, all the fruit of the trees which the hail had left. There remained not any green thing in the trees. They ate every leaf in Egypt. They ate every herb in Egypt, every fruit, anything that was edible, they ate. Verse 16, Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron in haste and said, I've sinned against the Lord your God and against you. Now therefore forgive, I pray thee, my sin only this once, and entreat the Lord your God that he may take away from me this death only. So this is his second fake repentance. He's already done this once and said, we've sinned and I was wrong. And he's doing it again, saying, I was wrong. Forgive me. I'm sorry. He doesn't mean any of it, does he? Because he's not going to let them go. So that leads us to the ninth plague, verse 21. This one is another one where he doesn't even go to Pharaoh. God just says, I want you to do this, send this ninth plague. So the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even in darkness which may be felt. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. Now, this darkness is a double miracle, really. It's not just that the sky was dark, but in the households of Egypt, they couldn't light a candle. God worked some sort of miracle that was impossible, that there was just no light anywhere in Egypt. And if you've ever been like in a deep cave, then you understand what it means when it says darkness that can be felt, where you turn off your torch and you literally can see absolutely nothing. That's the kind of darkness it was. So dark that it says they just couldn't go anywhere. They couldn't get up. They couldn't move. So God worked it out that they couldn't have a lantern. They couldn't have a candle. Nothing. And is it a coincidence that it was for 3 days? Of course not. Look at Matthew 12:40, and we'll see that this is a pre-picture, if you will. That the Passover, of course, is a direct picture of Jesus. But here, this darkness for 3 days, what is that picture? It pictures Jesus being in the grave for 3 days. It's not a coincidence that God chose 3 days. Notice he says, Matthew 12:40, for as Jonas, was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. So as it says back in our passage, verse 23, they saw not one another. They neither rose any from his place for 3 days. They couldn't, because they couldn't see. Again, God worked a miracle such that not only was the sky completely dark in Egypt, but even in their homes, they couldn't have any light. It was that dark that you could feel it. And therefore, they couldn't do anything for 3 whole days. Can you imagine what a plague that would have been? What is this picture? Well, remember, it's Egypt. And it pictures, it says it was darkness there in verse 22, in all the land. It pictures that this whole world is a world of darkness. And that God, when he saves us, he delivers us from darkness. Hallelujah for that. That when we are unsaved, if you go to Ephesians 6:12, actually go to John 3 first, John 3:19, but when you are unsaved, the Bible says you are part of the darkness and that you're in darkness. Notice John 3:19. This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Sinners love darkness. And the Bible tells us, if you go to Ephesians 6:12, that this world that in which we live is a world of darkness. Ephesians 6:12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Ephesians 6:12. The darkness of this world. We live in a world of darkness. The Bible says that he has delivered us from darkness to light. And the day that we were born again, we entered into the light out of the darkness. And so it not only pictures this dark world in which we live, but the fact that it was this darkness that could be felt, it also pictures, if you will, the punishment for sin, which is to be in hell. Often when we picture hell, we picture that the flames create light, but apparently they don't. And we know this from Jude 13, so let's turn there if we could. That hell is, the horribleness of hell is not only the fire that never consumes, the worm that never dies, but the darkness that never lights, if you will. Jude verse 13, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. The blackness of darkness. So it's even a picture of what hell will be like. The blackness of darkness forever. So back to our passage, we see here in Exodus 10:23 that the Bible says, or in 22, there was darkness in all the land. It was so dark that they couldn't have dark light in their households. But look at verse 23 at the end of the verse. It says, but all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. So this miracle that God worked, to where they couldn't light a candle, they couldn't have a fire, they couldn't have any kind of light in their houses, the Israelites could. So even though the sky was dark, the Israelites, they just lit their little lanterns and waited it out. Which again pictures that God's children, we have light, amen, in the midst of a dark world. They had light in their dwellings, the children of Israel. And you and I are referred to in Ephesians 5:8 as the children of light. Jesus said, ye are the, what, Matthew 5, light of the world. Jesus said in John 8, I am the light of the world. So many times in Scripture, God contrasts the saved versus the unsaved as those that have light and those that are in darkness. That light, of course, comes from Jesus, who is the light. And hallelujah for that. But Acts 26:18, turn there if you would. God makes it very clear that when we become Christians, we change realms from the realm of darkness to the realm of light. Acts 26:18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. That's what happens when we get saved. Amen. We are turned from darkness to light. 1 Peter 2:9, turn there quickly. 1 Peter 2:9. God says, we're a chosen generation, we're a royal priesthood, we're a holy nation, we're a peculiar people. It says that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So the darkness for Egypt pictured ultimately the consequences of sin, which is to go to hell, the blackness of darkness forever. It also pictures the fact that this world is darkness, and Egypt pictures the world. But the fact that Israel had light in their dwellings in the midst of the sky being dark pictures that you and I have the light of Jesus Christ in the midst of a dark world. How beautiful is that? Hallelujah for the light of Jesus that we have. And that's why He leaves us here after we get saved, isn't it? So we can light up the darkness. That's what He told us to do, to be the light of the world. So verse 24, Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, go ye serve the Lord. Here comes compromise attempt number 4. Only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. So fourth compromise attempt is, okay, the people can go, but leave behind all the animals. And Moses said, thou must also give us also sacrifices of burnt offerings that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God. Our cattle also should go with us. There shall not an hoof be left behind. Don't you love how Moses doesn't back down in the slightest? For thereof must we take to serve the Lord our God. We know not with what we must serve the Lord until we come thither. In other words, we need to take everything because we aren't sure when we get there exactly what God requires of us. So we need to be fully prepared. We have to take everything that we can. And I love that. You know, when we're preparing to serve the Lord, we need to make sure we do everything we can and prepare in every way we can. So we're as prepared as possible to serve the Lord. And then, of course, Pharaoh resorts to threats. Verse 28, Pharaoh said, get thee from me, take heed to thyself, see my face no more. For in that day that thou seest my face, thou shalt die. Moses wasn't afraid. He said, thou hast spoken well. I will see thy face again no more. Pharaoh, you don't know what's coming, but you're about to lose your own son. And then you'll let us go. So the Bible says in this ninth plague, the eighth plague, the locusts basically destroyed everything that, every plant that was alive. And then God sends 3 days of complete and utter darkness in the land. And in Egypt, makes it impossible for them to have any light in their dwellings. Picturing this dark world in which we find ourselves and the darkness of hell, all from Satan and sin, and then the fact that Israel had light in their dwellings. You and I live in a dark world, but we have light, the light of Jesus Christ. We have been translated from darkness into light. Hallelujah. And also that the devil is not going to stop trying to get us to compromise. That's 4 times now that Pharaoh has tried to change the rules. Moses has made it clear from the very beginning, this is what's going to happen. We are all going to leave 3 days' journey and worship our God. And 4 times now Pharaoh has tried to say, okay, you can go, but let me change it a little bit. And he's not going to stop. The devil is not going to stop trying to get us to compromise. Just follow his word, follow his will, and don't back down. Amen. In the meantime, aren't you thankful we have the light of Jesus in the midst of a dark and dying world? that you and I are the light of the world only because Jesus gave it to us. And our job is to now shine in the midst of darkness, that people may find the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ and be rescued from eternal darkness. The Bible says there was darkness in all the land. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this great accounting of what happened there in Egypt. And Lord, the great parallels that we can draw from it in our own lives. And now that you've given us light, I pray that, Lord, we will walk as the children of light and shine for Jesus and do our best to help those that are in darkness to be rescued from darkness. And Lord, also to recognize that we live in a world of darkness, in a kingdom of darkness, who is run by the Prince of Darkness, and that he's going to keep trying to get us to compromise our way out of the light into his ways, and may we not listen and not succumb to his temptations. Thank you for Jesus and what he's done for us. We love you in Christ's name. Amen.